I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Maryland 8th District Congressman Jamie Raskin joins me. He's a member of the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees and a leading advocate for beginning an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. As Trump barrels into London today, how much of an appetite is there to kick him out of Washington? Plus, the future of Pimlico, the Preakness, and Park Heights. Pimlico owners the Stronach Group wants to move the second jewel of the Triple Crown to Laurel. Can Baltimore keep it here? Maryland State Senator Bill Ferguson, Baltimore City Councilman Yitzi Schleifer join me, along with Doug Donovan of the Baltimore Sun. Perspectives on impeachment and the Preakness when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. It's Midday. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. A little later today, we're going to talk about the future of the Pimlico Racetrack, the home of the Preakness Stakes. State Senator Bill Ferguson and City Councilman Yitzi Schleifer join me, along with the Baltimore Sun's Doug Donovan. But first, as President Trump meets with Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace, the latest on the movement to begin an impeachment inquiry. Congressman Jamie Raskin joins me. He represents Maryland's 8th District. He is a member of both the House Judiciary Committee and the Oversight and Reform Committee, which is chaired by another Maryland Congressman, Elijah Cummings. Congressman Raskin, good to talk to you. How you doing?
No, great, and delighted to be with you guys.
What is your assessment right now of the appetite for an impeachment inquiry among your colleagues in the Congressional Democratic Caucus?
Well, let's see. I would say, having spoken to several colleagues over the weekend, first of all, people are just sick and tired of the corruption and lawlessness coming from the White House. People want to get back to work and want the Republicans in the Senate to take up all the legislation we've been passing about prescription drug reform and gun safety and pre-existing condition coverage and so on. They're not doing it. So people are upset about that, but they also know that we somehow have got to get a handle of all of these investigations. And you know, Special Counsel Mueller sent us over abundant evidence of presidential obstruction of justice. And I think more and more members are resolved to think that we need to launch an impeachment inquiry, which is different from articles of impeachment. It's not the actual indictment, which comes at the end of the process, if it comes, but rather to launch an investigation. And so I think that the chances are pretty good now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50-50.
Speaking of 50-50, a lot of the talk shows over the weekend talking about 50 congressional Democrats right now signing on to beginning an impeachment inquiry. Is that about the number that you think is accurate at this juncture here on Monday?
Well, I don't know. I know best about my own committees. As you mentioned, you know, I serve on the Judiciary Committee and the Oversight Committee, and there the feeling among the Democrats is overwhelming. It's certainly a majority of both. But we're the committees that have been living and breathing this stuff 24/7. You know, President Trump ordered members of the executive branch to deny our requests for witnesses, deny our requests for documentary evidence. They've been disobeying our subpoenas. And so the kind of obstruction of justice that Special Counsel Mueller wrote about in the report, where, you know, the president was ordering Don McGahn to fire the special counsel, to concoct stories about conflicts of interest and so on, it came leaping off the pages and right into the floors of, in the halls of Congress. And the president has basically attempted to pull a drape over the executive branch of government and prevent us from getting any information. So most of those who are on the investigative committees feel as if this president is obstructing justice. He's acting in contempt and defiance of Congress. And he's handed us just overwhelming evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Would an impeachment inquiry happen concurrently with investigations that are currently underway? I mean, Speaker Pelosi and others have said that what's happening in the investigatory and the oversight process is ample. What do you think an impeachment inquiry can accomplish that the regular oversight and committee hearings that are already underway cannot?
Well, that's a great question. I think it would help to centralize and consolidate the inquiries, at least of impeachable conduct, in one place. So it would bring greater logical coherence and focus to what we're doing. There are certainly other kinds of inquiries, you know, into the general mismanagement and abuse and incompetence of the administration that would continue in other committees. But when we look at things like violations of the Emoluments Clause, the president continuing to collect payments from foreign princes and kings and governments in complete violation of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, that's something that would go under an impeachment investigation. If there are examples of financial fraud, tax fraud, things at that level, those would become part of an impeachment investigation, presumably. I mean, obviously, it would have to be sorted out with the various committees. But, you know, we want to continue to do the work that we were sent here to do for the people. We passed great legislation to lower prescription drug prices by allowing the generic companies to get in the game and not allowing the brand names to stifle competition. Well, we passed that in the House. The Senate hasn't been doing anything, but we want to be able to push on that at the same time that we are investigating the serious evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors that's been brought to us by the special counsel and also that has been brought to us directly by the actions of the administration.
It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is Congressman Jamie Raskin. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee as well as the Oversight and Reform Committee. Congressman, an appetite in terms of the general public about impeachment doesn't seem to be huge. A new CNN poll that came out yesterday says about 54% of Americans oppose an impeachment proceeding, an inquiry into possible impeachment articles. And you've got an awful lot of folks. I mean, when the Democrats took over the House back in 2018, there were many Democrats who unseated Republican incumbents, but they have districts that, you know, certainly leaned Republican for a long time and voted for Mr. Trump in 2016. You have areas of your own district up in Frederick and Carroll County for whom impeachment is not top of mind. It's not the most important thing on their minds. How are those kinds of folks and you yourself going to balance that tension?
Well, an impeachment inquiry is not what any of us got elected to do. And the corruption and the criminality and the lawlessness are something that are a daily reality that we just have to confront and deal with, even though we don't want to. But we took an oath of office to defend the Constitution and the rule of law. And yeah, it looks like the polls say the public is kind of split down the middle whether to proceed with this. But understand that most of us in Congress have been saying that we don't want to do it up until a week or two ago, where we just saw the evidence is overwhelming coming out of the special counsel report. And I think as constituents learn more about the report, as they read it, as they listen to Mueller and they talk to their members of Congress, a lot more people are going to be feeling like this is something that needs to be done. Obviously, there's already a very powerful sentiment within the Democrats to do it, not powerful sentiment among the Republicans, although Justin Amash is one Republican congressman who said, I took the time to read the report, and it's impossible to come away with anything but the sense that there is evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors and direct efforts by the president to obstruct justice. So you'd be surprised. I've been getting lots of calls and lots of emails from my constituents up in Frederick County and Carroll County, especially a lot of veterans who are very unhappy with this president, what, you know, the continuing insults to John McCain and the memory of John McCain, and the idea that they put their lives on the line to defend the Constitution and the rule of law, and they don't want to be involved with a president who's trampling the rule of law and violating the Constitution. So I don't think it's so much a Democrat versus Republican or liberal conservative thing. I think it really is those who are recognizing that the president himself is offering direct threats to the Constitution and the rule of law on a daily basis now.
You heard, of course, Robert Mueller's first public remarks about the report that he had submitted to Attorney General Barr in March. He said basically that report speaks for itself, and if he were to be obliged by subpoena or other ways of getting him to testify, if he had to testify, he wouldn't have anything other to say other than what he's written in the report. If Congress were to receive an unredacted report, which in that process is continuing, why wouldn't that be enough? Why does Mueller have to testify?
Well, first of all, an unredacted report is what we should have gotten in the very first place. You know, when Kenneth Starr finished his report on Bill Clinton, it went to Congress, and Congress performed the redactions. And that's always been the process with independent counsels and special counsels. Attorney General Barr essentially intercepted the report and then distorted repeatedly its contents and misstated the findings of the special counsel. That's why Mueller wrote two letters to Barr protesting it, you know. Mueller has said that he's pretty much said what he's got to say and that he would come back gladly, but he's just going to repeat what's in the report. And I feel some sympathy with what he's saying, because his job was to adduce all of the findings and all of the facts and give them to us. And they are in there, and it just remains for us to read the facts and to assimilate them. But I think that Republican Congressman Justin Amash did a pretty good job when he said, when you read the report, it is very difficult to resist the conclusion that this president tried to interfere repeatedly in an ongoing criminal investigation and prosecution. And Tom, you got to think back to before Donald Trump and how extraordinary any of us would have thought for a president to try to get involved in any criminal investigation or prosecution, much less one that directly involves him and his subordinates. So I think that Justin Amash has said the right thing, and those members who are saying we need to launch an inquiry are responding to what the special counsel has sent to us. And when Mueller had his press conference last week, he said, look, the reason we didn't indict the president was because of the Department of Justice policy that we don't indict a sitting president. And that was it. And now we have more than 1,000 former federal prosecutors and U.S. attorneys who are saying we would indict anybody else in the country based on evidence of this kind of misconduct and attempts to interfere and meddle in a criminal investigation. And the president is the one guy that you can't indict under DOJ policy.
I know we have to let you go. You got a lot on your plate this afternoon, but I wonder if you see any notion that there is a particular tipping point that would change Speaker Pelosi's mind, because at the moment she still opposes an impeachment inquiry.
Well, Speaker Pelosi rightfully recognizes that impeachment's an extraordinary remedy. When the House impeached Bill Clinton for telling one lie about sex, I think that was really a misuse of the impeachment power. It's not about low crimes and misdemeanors. It's about high crimes and misdemeanors. So we're assembling all of the evidence that we've got of the president's offenses against the character of our Constitution and our country. And I think when that, you know, evidence seems to be so overwhelming that a majority of the public recognizes it, I think that Speaker Pelosi will do the right thing.
Congressman Jamie Raskin represents Maryland's 8th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee and the Oversight and Reform Committee. Congressman, thanks. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Delighted to be with you, Tom. Bye-bye.
I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. Coming up next, a conversation about the future of Pimlico. Stay with us.